Now we got to hear him. All right, before we hear him, let me read something to you. This is Psalm 100. Beautiful little psalm. Let the whole world shout triumphantly to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We're his. His people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. The word of the Lord. Now, speaking of joy, I thought I'd show you a picture. Where did it go? I saw it for a second. You have it? Okay, imagine a bunch of children. We had a really cool VBS this week. And they had a great time. They had a lot of joy. They learned a lot. They experienced a lot of love and care. Thank you for all of you leaders that helped with that. Thank you to Kristen and to Annie who led it. And joy was had by all. Okay, let's hitchhike off of what we just heard. Joy is an elusive topic. It's an elusive thing. We think we find it in our work or in that new job or in that relationship. And yet in many ways, it's a lot like the rides at Cedar Point that our high schoolers just experienced on Friday. It's done way too soon. So just for a couple of minutes before we get to celebrate the baptisms of a few of our friends today, I want to think a little bit about joy. Oh, there they are. You guys were all smiling, looking at me like, oh no, is my zipper down or something? But then I realized you were looking at the pictures there. Yeah, there they are. We even had to have it off campus. They did a great job adjusting because of the construction zone. Okay, here's what we're talking about. We're living in the shadows of joy. One of my best friends is a world-class percussionist. He is the head of the percussion department at Eastman School of Music in Rochester. And some years ago, influenced by the ideas and writings of C.S. Lewis, his name is Mike Burrett, Mike wrote a piece called Shadow Chasers. For Lewis, the Shadowlands is where we live here. And Mike's piece, Shadow Chasers, has been heard by millions of people all over the world, both through solo marimba as well as through percussion ensemble. Shadow Chasers, I love that idea because in many ways, we are all shadow chasers. We pursue the joy, the happiness, the pleasures of life, only to find them wanting. Shadows of something much more profound and eternal. Jesus was walking once through the villages of Samaria, and he came across a woman who was heading to the well to get some water. Now, this woman's life was a bit messy. She had 5 failed marriages. She was living with a guy now. In many ways, you could say that the well of her life was empty of joy. As she was looking for joy or security or pleasure or intimacy in all of these relationships, and every one of them. And now she's coming to the well to draw some water. And Jesus says to her something very interesting. He says, you drink the water from this well, you're going to be thirsty again. If you drink the water I offer you, you'll never have thirst again. She was a shadow chaser. She was looking to quench her thirst, not just from the water, but from all of the messy relationships. Shadowlands. That's what C.S. Lewis calls our earthly existence here. We live in the shadowlands. And in the shadowlands, we only get a little bit of a glimpse of the joy, of the pleasure, of the peace that another land can actually offer. Now, Lewis would warn us to be careful in the shadowlands. He would say, here in the shadowlands, it is easy to confuse the shadows with the real thing, the temporal pleasures for the divine joy. It's easy to confuse the well water with the living water, of which you'll never thirst again. He would say, but these things are just the shadows. They're not the reality itself. And I love the way he puts it. These temporal pleasures, joys, things that we pursue are only the scent of a flower that we've never found. They're only the hint of a tune that we've never heard. These pleasures are only news from a country that we've never visited because we live in the shadow. We talk about joy, we chase after joy, only to realize that we are living in the shadow. Lewis's autobiography is called Surprised by Joy, which, if you know a little bit about his life, you're confused by the title. Once you read it, because later in his life, this confirmed bachelor married a woman named Joy. And the first time I read it, I thought, he's talking about his wife. He's not talking about his wife at all. He's talking about his life as a scholar, as an atheist, and all of the pursuits of his life, and all of the longings of his life. And how finally, when it came to the point where he was confronted with the Eternal One, he was surprised by joy. That's what he had been longing for. That's what he had been looking for. And yet, he realized that here in the Shadowlands, that joy is a promise. That joy is a hope. That joy is not a 24/7 reality that we experience. Isn't that true? He coined this phrase, and I like it a lot. The top one. Joy is the serious business of heaven. I mean, Kathy, in a sense, was sharing that with the children. It comes from God. But what does that mean? It's the serious business of heaven. You see, here in the Shadowlands, we can manufacture. And there can actually be very good things, but we can manufacture the shadows of the joys. Great food. Man, that was the greatest food I've ever had. The intimacy with someone. The joy of work. The joy of vacation. We manufacture those things. And don't hear me say feel guilty about enjoying them. We need to enjoy them. They're not necessarily bad unless they are. But they're just the shadows. The nature and the quality of your joy will always depend on where you got it, on who manufactured it. Joy is the serious business of heaven. So let's enjoy the pleasures of this world. But let's be careful we're not too satisfied with what the Shadowlands offers us as shadow chasers. I want you to hear Lewis one more time. He would say, "It would seem our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. And like an ignorant child who wants to go making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what it's meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea, we are too easily pleased." So let's enjoy our joys, but let's realize they're shadows of something much more profound, something much more real and eternal. And in some ways, later, they are based on a promise. And that promise is in the shape of a cross. And they are based on the hope of that cross. Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes, "God has put eternity into our hearts." As sort of an apologetic that God exists, that eternity exists. We have eternity in our hearts. Now, we try to fill it with all kinds of shadows. Like Voltaire said, do I have him there? No, Voltaire was the one that said, we have a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts, and we try to fill it with all kinds of shapes that often don't work. But that God created eternity in our hearts reminds us that there is an eternity. If there is a desire that we have, I'm paraphrasing Lewis here. If there is a desire that we have, there is either a satisfaction of that desire. For example, you're hungry. There's food. You're thirsty. There's drink. You're lonely. There's intimacy. We have been designed with desires, and there are satisfactions to those desires because the designer has put them there. But if there is a desire of which there is no ultimate satisfaction, all that tells you is that you were made for a different world. And we try to fill all of our longings with the joys of this world that are just merely shadows in the shadowland. And all that tells us is that we are made for a different world with a different fulfillment. Psalmist says it really well. My soul longs. All of our souls long. And then he goes a step further. Yes, it faints. But he was able to realize what it's fainting for ultimately. For the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for the joy of the living God. We are indeed shadow chasers, pursuing the longings of our hearts, the desires that are part of us, ultimately needing to realize the desires are for that eternal, divine, heavenly joy that we've created, that we've been created for. And it's not found in the things that we accomplish or the things that we can attain. Those are shadows. Ultimately, that joy is found in the thing that God gives, in the promise that he gives us in his Son. We pursue and we long, and we even reminisce nostalgically about the joys of our childhood or the joys of that place, happy once upon a time. But we realize the eternal joy isn't about back then. Once upon a time, it's about one day. One day. When faith becomes sight. When hope becomes reality. That's what we long. You know, C.S. Lewis was a professor. He was not a theologian. I don't know if you knew that. He was a professor of medieval literature, first at Oxford, then at Cambridge. He was really into mythology, Roman mythology and Greek mythology, and all of the myths of the gods that visited the humans, some with pleasure, some with displeasure. And as an adult professor, Lewis just thought that Christianity was another modern myth, just like the Greek and Roman. And then he was challenged by his friend and colleague, J.R.R. Tolkien. You know that name. He wrote The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. Tolkien was a faithful man, a devout Roman Catholic. And Tolkien told Lewis, you know, as we teach the myths, we need to realize that the ancient myths are mere shadows. And they're shadows of the real thing. And the real thing is Christ and Christianity. God did visit the humans. He was pleased and displeased. And through the life and sacrifice of his son, he offers us life and forgiveness and eternal joy. And it was through that Lewis was surprised by joy. We can experience that too by faith. And then one day, we can know that we will also experience and be surprised. In a few moments, we're going to be watching a few of our friends be baptized. And they are declaring their faith. In a world of myths and shadows, they, as all of us who have faith, can declare, we love living in the shadowland, but we realize we are made for something else. And it is Christ who baptizes us into a life of the real. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to continue our worship, and we're going to celebrate with our friends who are baptized. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray that you would, maybe just for a moment today, jolt us into the reality that we, in a sense, are not living in reality. We are living in the shadows. And although we enjoy at times the pleasures of the shadows, Lord, I pray that you would give us an eternal perspective to remind us that life and joy and meaning are ultimately found in you, in Christ, and realized one day. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for that hope. Help us to be patient as we look forward to that hope of joy one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.